The European Parliament approved proposals on October 21st to give European members of Parliament a power of scrutiny over how the European Commission finances projects intended to promote stability in non-EU countries, improve cooperation with developing and other countries, and promote democracy and human rights. With the Lisbon Treaty in force, the Parliament decides jointly with the Council on almost all new laws, and this joint approach also needs to be reflected in democratic oversight of the implementation of external cooperation financing instruments. Strategy papers for geographic and thematic programs, as well as multi-annual indicative programs drafted by the Commission for the external cooperation instruments, shall be adopted by means of delegated acts, according to amendments approved by the Foreign Affairs, Development and International Trade Committees. This would give the European Parliament a de facto veto by enabling it to block these strategy papers and multi-annual programs and require the Commission to present amended proposals. All five reports were adopted at a first reading without any agreement having been reached with the Council and Commission on the most contentious issue relating to the application of delegated acts. However, during the debate on Wednesday, October 20th, all three institutions underlined their intention to engage in trilogue negotiations in order to ensure that these financial instruments function properly. The Instrument for Stability, drafted by Franziska Brandner, a German member of the European Parliament belonging to the Greens European Free Alliance, was approved with 567 votes in favor, 41 against, and 6 abstentions. The Financing Instrument for Development Cooperation, drafted by Gay Mitchell, Irish-European MP belonging to the European People's Party, was passed with 583 votes in favor, 6 against, and 19 abstentions. The Financing Instrument for the Promotion of Democracy and Human Rights Worldwide, drafted by Barbara Lochbihler, a German member of the European Parliament belonging to the Greens European Free Alliance, and Kingagal, a Hungarian member of the European People's Party, was approved with 577 votes in favor, 17 against, and 18 abstentions. The Financing Instrument for Cooperation with Industrialized Countries, drafted by Helmut Scholz, German member of the European Parliament belonging to the European United Left, was approved with 586 votes in favor, 27 against, and 10 abstentions. The Financing Instrument for the Development of Cooperation, drafted by Charles Goerens, a member from Luxembourg belonging to the Alliance for Democrats and Liberals from Europe, was approved with 574 votes in favor, 17 against, and 25 abstentions. The European Parliament President Jerzy Buzek and the European Commission President José Manuel Barroso signed on October 20th in Strasbourg the revised framework agreement governing working relations between the two institutions. The signature brings to a successful conclusion a process that started almost 1 year ago with the entry into force of the Lisbon Treaty. The revised framework agreement adapts the existing accord from 2005 to the new treaty framework. Both presidents expressed confidence that it will deepen the relations between the two institutions and offer practical solutions in line with the increased competences of Parliament under the Lisbon Treaty. Important elements of the agreement have been implemented already, even before having come into force, including progress on preparing the Commission's work program for 2011. President Buzek said, "The European Parliament is proud of this new 5-year framework agreement with the European Commission. It reflects the new, more influential position of the European Parliament under the Lisbon Treaty and takes our special partnership with the European Commission to a new level. I welcome in particular that the Commission has undertaken to report on the concrete follow-up given to any legislative initiative requests by Parliament and the acceptance of the principle of equal treatment by the Commission of Parliament and the Council of Ministers in legislative and budgetary matters." President Barroso said, "This agreement marks a new departure following the entry into force of the Lisbon Treaty, which reinforces the roles of the Commission and the European Parliament in driving forward the European agenda." Maros Šefčovič, Commission Vice President for the Interinstitutional Relations and Administration, who negotiated on behalf of the Commission, added, "It's crucial that we have a solid and formally agreed basis for our work together, and that it's actually put into daily practice on the ground. I'll do everything I can to ensure that this happens. I'd like to thank the Parliament's negotiators for their efforts throughout what were always very frank discussions." Member States threatened last October 21st to take the European Parliament and Commission to court over what it calls the illegal provisions of an interinstitutional agreement which gives European MPs extra powers on international negotiations and greater access to classified EU documents. Carved out following the entry into force of the Lisbon Treaty, the new interinstitutional deal was adopted by the EU legislature on Wednesday, October 20th, and signed by both Parliament Chief Jerzy Buzek and Commission President José Manuel Barroso. The Council of Ministers, the main decision-making body of the EU, did not participate in negotiations on the agreement. Its legal services have issued a negative opinion on the document, which was taken up by the Employment Ministers' meeting in Luxembourg on Thursday. The ministers state in their written conclusions, "The Council notes that there are several provisions of the framework agreement that have the effect of modifying the institutional balance set according to European Parliament prerogatives that are not provided for in the treaties and limiting the autonomy of the Commission and its President. The reservations concern particularly European MPs' participation in international talks and their increased access to classified documents and to information related to legal cases brought by the Commission against Member States. The Council will submit to the Court of Justice any act or action of the Parliament or of the Commission performed in application of the provisions of the Framework Agreement that would have an effect contrary to the interests of the Council and the prerogatives conferred upon it by the treaties," the document reads. In its legal opinion, the Council also blasts the special partnership between the EU legislature and the Commission as enshrined in the Interinstitutional Agreement. "Privileged relations between the two EU bodies with the exclusion of the Council would be in breach of the Lisbon Treaty," according to the lawyers working for the member states. To legal experts working outside institutions, this interinstitutional quarrel is natural following the coming into force of the Lisbon Treaty, which grants the EU Parliament increased powers to the detriment of member states. The Council's objections can seem legitimate from their point of view. However, the interinstitutional agreement as such doesn't necessarily break the Lisbon Treaty, Piotr Kaczynski from the Center for European Policy Studies, a Brussels-based think tank, told this website. He pointed to the fact that Council excluded itself from negotiations with the other two EU institutions, and that it cannot claim that they cannot have special relationships amongst themselves. As any other legal document, the Lisbon Treaty leaves room for interpretation, and each institution tries to make out the best for its own interests, Mr. Kaczynski said. Rules on access to information still leave room for maneuver, and the security clearance given to European MPs by the Commission will, of course, be its own responsibility, he added. A legal case is always an option, Mr. Kaczynski said, in case the Council does not find the application of the agreement satisfactory. The European Parliament is claiming powers, and the Council wants to preserve the status quo as much as possible. The Commission has given up a lot of points to the Parliament. Their relationships are fine, but relations between Parliament and Council are not settled yet. From the Commission side, a spokesman said that the negotiations on this agreement were transparent, with regular information on the state of play of negotiations being conveyed to the Council on a number of occasions. According to Michael Mann, spokesman for Institutional Affairs, the agreement updates the relations between the two institutions to the new treaty framework, while staying clearly within the limits set out in the treaty in terms of the competences and respective roles of each institution. The Commission is therefore confident that its implementation will not lead to any legal difficulty. Portuguese centre-right European MP Paulo Rangel, in charge of drafting the Parliament's position on the agreement last week, said he was confident the legal threat would not materialize. Every institution interprets in its own way their new powers given by the Lisbon Treaty and tries to maximize their positions. I don't think this means there is a conflict within the institutions, he said. This information has been provided by the official press service of the European Parliament and the EU Observer. This program has been produced by Radio Niscor at our studios in Belgium on October 25th, 2010.